church. Turn with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 6. Joshua, chapter 6. We have come to this chapter, maybe a favorite passage of mine. Preached it several times in Africa. Every time it's fresh, and we come to this chapter. Joshua, chapter 6, verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in. A message, the fall of Jericho and its significance. The fall of Jericho and its significance today to us, the church. The capture of Jericho, its king, the salvation of Rahab, is one of the historical events, and I say historical, because you can read any historian, and he will tell you it was a historical event. In the Bible, we have heard from Sunday school, the walls of Jericho fell after being circled by Joshua and his army for 7 days. And seven is very important. A few more years shall roll, and then it will be a Sabbath. The Lord's people did not have tanks and AK-47 rifles. Simple trust and obedience to the instructions of God and the leader, Joshua, ensured victory. Today, Christians face many spiritual battles, individually and collectively. We can conquer those battles through faith and obedience the same way. Previously, you remember, we saw how God reinstated the worship at Gilgal with his covenant people. The younger generation were circumcised. The Passover was reinstituted, and the reproach of Israel was rolled away. All of this is symbolic, but it was also literal. We cover that. God officially commissioned his servant Joshua to be Israel's next leader, to take them to the promised land. Moses couldn't do it. He's a type of the law. The law cannot save. You need a savior. And by the way, Joshua's name means savior. As a matter of fact, it's the same name as Jesus. Same word in the Old Testament. God officially commissioned him. God always raised up men throughout history. During the Reformation, it was a man that God raised up. Anytime Reformation comes to a church, it is because God raises up a man from among his people to bring Reformation. And God raised up Joshua to lead them to the land he promised to Abraham. Jericho was Israel's first city of conquest after crossing the Jordan. And this is history. For you children, just to give you a refresher. It was the Lord's battle. Because it was the Lord's battle, it was to be done the Lord's way. It was not Joshua's and the children of Israel's battle. Remember in chapter 5, verse 15, it had become clear to Joshua that he was not the one doing this battle. The captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. It was not the ground that Joshua was on that was holy. It was what he was endeavoring to embark upon that was holy. And any work of God should be viewed holy. This time I will arrange our chapter, it's a big, long chapter, into three parts, by showing these items, beginning first with the Lord's strategy outlined to Joshua. The Lord's strategy outlined to Joshua. You know, we like to make outlines, right? But the Lord made outlines too. Structure to follow. And the church has a structure to follow. The Christian is part of that structure. And that's why I said to you this morning that you are treading dangerous ground to be a loose cannon. A strategy is a plan one has in reaching an important goal. The Lord's work is never done by whim or by chance. And this structure is seen in verses 1 through 5. The first 5 verses, the Lord's strategy for this battle is outlined. Now Jericho was straightly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. Now look at this verse. The walls 10 feet or more high up in the air. The people behind the walls, Joshua and his people outside the walls, and God said, see, I have given you the land. It took faith and obedience for Joshua and his men to go in there. Sometimes you see walls. Sometimes you see situations insurmountable. And God said to you, see, I have given you that victory. I don't know what it is you have, but keep your eyes on the Lord. That's what I can say. Joshua and his armies face a problem. The gate of the city was shut. No one could enter the city, neither could anyone exit. You know, ancient cities back then were secured with 10-foot walls and iron gates. You remember Rahab back in chapter 2, verse 5, where the text says, and it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, when the men went out. Whither the men went, I do not know. Pursue after them quickly, or you should overtake them. This is what she said to the king and his army back in those days. In some cities, you know very well, there are what we call gated communities. And many times thieves are able to break through. As a matter of fact, I know a pastor in South Africa who live in a gated community. And they rob him. Take away the visiting pastor, take away his computer. And the poor guy packed his bags and left. He didn't even preach. Gated community. Robbed the guy. But God is emphasizing that Jericho was on high security. Spies went in before. They taking no chances. But the lesson is God always seems to make the obstacle greater for his people to overcome. You ever notice that? Presbyterian pastor Dale Ralph Davis gives an insightful application saying, speaking of this text, and I quote, Jericho had shut the gate and was completely closed to the Israelites that no one could go out or in. The purpose of this verse is to describe the seemingly hopeless situation confronting Israel, a people unskilled in the kind of warfare that was now required. Dale Ralph Davis. He's a professor of Old Testament scripture. Now this made the promise in verse 2 very encouraging to Joshua. See, I have given you into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor behind the wall. There was to be no doubt in the mind of Joshua who would grant Israel this victory. But if the Lord, let me say something in making it by way of application quickly today. You may be secured by personal walls of secrecy and privacy. No one knows. You have erected those walls, and some of you are like that. Don't get into my life. You may be one who is close, but your personal life. Church don't know anything about you. Pastor don't know anything about you. You're not safe. You're close about it. But if the Lord is ready to conquer your soul, He can enter by breaking down those walls. He can do it. He can wonderfully save you, like He did the woman at the well who erected those walls. Jesus pointed at them. You had five husbands. He makes the sinner willing in the day of His power. The risen Savior said to a lukewarm church in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and sup with him, he with me." Fellowship. The key to understanding Revelation 3:20 is if anyone hears. That's the only way you will open the door. If anyone hears. In fact, the Bible tells us that Christ has broken down the wall or partition. Separated us from Christ. He breaks down the wall and enters. And today many still have a way in our church of erecting walls. Don't know them. They don't want you to know them. Christ can break those walls down. That's an application. In our chapter, certain essentials were to be followed in the strategy outlined by God to Joshua, verses 3 and 4. "You shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go around about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns." It's very interesting, this word is translated jubilee. "Shall compass the city 7 times." Perfect number. "The priest shall blow with the trumpets." Israel was to march around the city walls once every day for 6 days. 7 priests must carry the ark of God. 7 with trumpets sounding an alarm. But we said last time that God and His procedures always seem strange. Very strange. On the 7th day, Joshua and his people were to do the same thing, only difference, 7 times. I could just see somebody saying, "I'm tired of this, man. Why you gotta do this again?" I can just see some of our wives saying that. Some men too. "We did it last time, and now we're going to do it 7 times. 7th day, all the priests, 7 priests were to blow the trumpet. People were to shout, the general people, a great shout, and the walls would fall. Strategy. Verse 5, "It shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, And when you hear the song of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. Well, this was the strategy outlined. The scripture says that it was the Lord who spoke to his servant Joshua. It was the Lord who directed and foretold the outcome of obedience. We come to our next head, the strategy explained to the people by Joshua. The strategy explained, verses 6 to 11. Now what we read in verses 1 through 5 is repeated in these verses. I may not read them. Joshua simply reiterates what was outlined to him to the people. He says what God said to him to the people. And this is the responsibility of the servant of God. Servants do not make the rules. They explain the rules to the people. And the people must follow, just as these ones did. Verse 6. Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord. The ark of the Lord. I'm sorry. He says it's redundant. He's repeating it. This is what teaching is, brethren. It's hearing the same thing over and over again. The ark and the trumpets were only entrusted to the priests. But everyone. The ark symbolizes the Lord's presence with his people. The trumpets prepares the people for battle. Seven goes on. Said unto the people, pass on and compass the city. Let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. Now in explaining this further, Joshua gave an injunction in verses 10 and 11. Just drop down to verse 10 and 11. We're working our way down. And Joshua had commanded the people saying, you shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice. Neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then shall you shout. So the ark of the Lord come past the city, going about it once every day. And they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. You picture that. Walk around once, go back and sit down in the camp all day. Probably praying. Most of them probably nervous. But not a song was to be heard from the men of war. Only the sounding of the trumpet. There was to be no confusion about what the people behind the walls of Jericho were hearing. There was to be clarity in the sounding of the trumpet. And a lot of us like to make too much noise in this church. So we saw a divine strategy outlined to Joshua. We saw Joshua explain the strategy to the people. It seems like redundant, right? It's not redundant. I'll get to it. Lastly, thirdly, Brother Presley, I see you're writing. I hope you preach this. The strategy executed by Joshua. This is the rest of the chapter, 12 to 27. How the strategy was executed. You know, it's okay to outline a strategy. It is okay to explain a strategy. But we have problems with executing that strategy here in our church. You may outline. You may explain. But when it comes to the application, you don't see it. Not here. Verse 12 to 27. This is the crux of the message. Where Joshua and the people of Israel applied the strategy that was explained. Verse 12 and 13. Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord, and seven priest bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, but the reward or the reward came after the ark of the Lord, the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. I hope you children are following me. The trumpets, I must add, were not assigned to all of Joshua's army. Neither was the ark assigned to all of the people. There were certain men who attended to these duties. God had not entrusted the warning song of the trumpet to every soldier. Anyone shouldn't toy with a trumpet if they don't know notes and songs. I can't sing. You will never hear it, see me trying to sing. And some of you need to stop trying to lead people in the same. But I hope you get the message. The trumpets was carefully placed in the hands of the priests. The only priest can blow a trumpet? I don't think so. But the problem is some of you want to do what you ain't called to do. And you make a cracky song with the trumpet. Shouldn't toy with a trumpet. 6 days they compassed the city once, blowing the trumpet. Finally, the climax. Came to a climax. Verse 15 and 16. Came to pass on the seventh day, that it rose early about the dawning of the day, and compassed the city after the same manner, this time, seven times. Only on that day they compassed the city seven times. Twice, seven, seven, seven. Perfect number. Lord is perfect in his judgment. Perfection. The world will come to an end when God's perfect will is accomplished. And it will come to a crashing end. It came to pass at the seventh time when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, he commanded, shout! Lord, I've given you the city. It's a man of faith, man. It's a man of faith, Othniel. This is a leader. A leader that is a wimp. He's not a leader. In the execution of the Lord's strategy in conquering the city of Jericho, there were two exceptions or two untouchables. Rahab and her family were to be rescued. And the accursed thing was to be off limits, verse 17. And the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. By the way, Rahab and her house is a picture of the church, especially the church in the church at large, but it's particularly speaking about the new covenant age, where the church is primarily made up of Gentiles, harlots, prostitutes, drunkards that God rescued. I can't go too deep into this today, but just to whet your appetite to the study of God's word. Rahab and her house was saved. Hebrews tells us why she was saved. Rahab was an exception. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. She received the message they brought. It was because of her faith to steal. The other exception in verse 18 of Joshua 6, look with me. You in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. This man Achan's name means troubler. By the way, you'll be shocked if I tell you that he pictures Christ. You still ask me where you get that from. Well, he was slaughtered because Israel was under a curse. And he was slaughtered that Israel could advance. Troubler. Christ became sin that you and I can advance to Canaan. We get into that next time. But it was because of our faith. The word accursed thing should rightly be translated dedicated thing. Keep yourselves from the dedicated thing. You see, there are some people in the church that want to take glory, want to take credit. And God says, keep yourselves from those things that are dedicated to me. And that's why Achan became cursed. And anybody trifling with the gospel by creating a works grace gospel is under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. This passage is so rich that you can't cover it in one sitting. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpet, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Now quickly, there are three specific references in this text that parallels end time prophecies. You should see it. One, the shout. Second, the trumpet sound. Three, the people went up into the city. Did you get it? I hope I didn't lose you. These references are not used by accident. For the Bible says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. These are the three headings I've chosen in the context. Very simple. The follow. Joshua 6. The strategy for the Lord's battle outlined to Joshua. Second, the strategy explained by Joshua. Three, the strategy executed by Joshua and his men, Jericho fell. Now you may ask, in concluding, why did God choose this method in capturing the city of Jericho, the first city? Why did he have this feeble bunch walking around the city walls with the ark and the trumpets for a whole week, and then seven times on the seventh day? Why this? Is this history? Yes, it is. But what do you see in it? Well, it's because there is a gospel purpose behind the strategy. One is evangelical in nature. The second is eschatological in prophecy. I hope we pronounce the word right. Eschatological. Everyone knows what evangelical means, but you ask a common person in the pew, what does the word eschatology mean? They don't know. It is time to move from the milk and know what is eschatology. Or eschatological. The big word eschatological means the teachings of the last things. That's all it means. It's composed of two words. Last things. If you have been around the church for a while, you ought to know the doctrine of eschatology, the teaching of the second coming. And Brother Curtis was alluding to that this morning in 2 Peter. Joshua chapter 6 has instructions to me and to you. The triumphant possession of Joshua's army for 6 days and then 7 times on the 7th day reveals to us God's plan, God's strategy to the church. Today the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has not been left without a plan. We ought to follow the Lord's strategy. Well, that's why I said this morning, some of us that are visiting, it's good, and I like to see you. I appreciate you coming. But you're treading on dangerous soil if you're not instructed from God's word. We are to be faithful. The Lord made it clear in Luke 24. Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the 3rd day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry, you in Jerusalem, tarry, wait, come back to Gilgal until you be endued with power from on high. Mission has not changed. We're still waiting for his coming. But where do we wait? Where do we wait? But it is not an idle wait. It's a circling wait. And you are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem. The Lord's strategy was outlined clearly by the head of the church, Matthew 24, 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. I read to you this morning from the New Testament how Paul explained the strategy. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Keep going around the walls. You went to go back again. You went to Africa, go back again. Rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time has come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they reap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Shall turn away their ears from the truth, shall be turned on to fables. Brethren, the Lord's strategy was faithfully executed at the official beginning of the church age, when a man, a fisherman, uneducated in the world, but highly educated by Christ, said, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord. Shall come to pass that whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know that this word is used in the Hebrew in the Old Testament. I'll read it at the end of the message for you. Saved, so. Brethren, what is written in history, or what was written in history, the days of Joshua, has evangelical relevance to the church today, otherwise it would not be in the Bible. Second, the destruction of Jericho and the rescuing of Rahab has eschatological implications. I'll tell you why. Today the trumpet warning is heard when the gospel is proclaimed. Not too many will listen, and not too many are listening. But the word is going forth. Paul in 1 Corinthians 14 says, "For if the trumpet gives an uncertain song, who shall prepare himself for the battle?" We better be careful. If there is a conflicting message coming from our pulpit, no one will call on the name of the Lord. No one will be prepared for the day of the Lord. He calls it a battle. If our gospel becomes one of entertainment, it is because we are not following the strategy. Be careful. If we are failing to follow God's ordained strategy for preaching and teaching, there will be no salvation. If you're teaching a gospel of works, what man can do, instead of telling them, who else could have done that but God Almighty? Can you do something like that? As impossible as that was? Today, as the gospel is proclaimed, not too many, and maybe a lot of you here are not paying attention. A lot of you here are not paying attention to me. I know. Most likely, Joshua, when you look at it realistically, and the men of Israel seem strange. Strange. People behind the walls peeping through. These idiots. Preachers of the gospel may not appear to be important as they labor, despise, dislike. Few people following the given instructions heralded by the trumpet song. To the average person in church, Joshua and his men look like oddballs. Oddballs. Nomads in La La Land, in possession of art, blowing the trumpet. Maybe you see somebody doing that today. They are in La La Land. But on the seventh day, the last day, the walls of Jericho fell flat. The ark in the possession with the people of God reminds them of God's holiness. The trumpet issues a warning of judgment. The seventh day reminds us the perfect Sabbath of rest when the Lord's people will be gathered. No more need for the trumpet. Laugh. You laugh. Laugh now. Laugh. Let's see who laughs on judgment day. There'll be no fuss to observe the Lord's day. For all of the Lord's people will have a perfect rest. There'll be no city walls to fall down when Christ returns. Revelation pictures it. The stars of heaven fell onto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. The heaven departed as a scroll, and it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were removed out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men of valor, and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" I tell you who, Rahab, and those who are like her. Just as Rahab was rescued from behind the walls before their collapse, or even in the rubble, those who follow her example would be rescued. Today, by God's mercy, the gospel continues to herald. I don't know how long the Lord is going to allow us, or how long He's going to allow me to preach the gospel. But nothing seems to be happening in this church. Nothing. The harder you speak, the closer the ears have become. Nothing seems to be happening. No big splash being made. No razzle dazzle. Just a simple message. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. There is a judgment coming. The voice you hear may be the voice of a man, but it is God's message. This is God outlining the strategy. It is God's message. And some of you are not listening. You can't blame me. One day, we've been hearing this for a long time. Everything will come crashing down. It doesn't take long. Our brother, we need to pray for our brother, Pastor Martin. Pastor Martin can't read his Bible anymore. You have to go and read it to him. One day, you know, you see some people, you go to see some people that are in nursing home, how wonderfully you might see one with the Bible. But you see too many with a boob tube. Steve Harvey. I am concerned about aged people who came here all their lives and in their latter days meditating on Judge Judy and Steve Harvey. You might be one. I bring the gospel to you. Repent and turn to Christ. This is the message of the church. It is not my battle. It is the Lord's battle. Verse 25 concludes with these words, so that the people would not take credit for this victory. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And it's very important that God worded like this, and Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive. You can translate that word, and Jesus saved Rahab the harlot alive. So that Joshua and the people of Israel and you and me do not think that salvation is of man. Salvation is of the Lord. Let's pray. Amen. Oh Lord, we have sought to exegete portions of this marvelous chapter that is both evangelical and eschatological. Lord, we pray that our people would understand both elements of this chapter as they go home and read it carefully, prayerfully, that they too might be counted worthy of entering into the land eternally. Thank you for the time. Forgive us for anything that was said amiss. Bless that which is important to the hearing of the ears. And bring about fruit to the glory of your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.